Let us now listen to the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus then called a child over, placed the child in their midst and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like these children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. See then that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Today the church celebrates the Feast of the Holy Guardian Angels. Now, I had a nice pair of angel wings. I was going to kind of wheel and enhance the celebration, but they disappeared when Father Paul moved the calendar. So, I'm not pointing any fingers. I think he's probably wearing this very day as he probably says Mass over at the Gray School. I'll get them back this week when he comes to visit us. Guardian angels, what can I say about them? Actually, quite a lot. That was not a little story. My Father John Shea, he was a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago, a prolific spiritual writer and theologian, wrote a book called The God Who Fell from Heaven. Now, in this book, he tells a little story about himself when he was in the second grade. Every morning, as all the children gathered to start their school day, Sister would have them move over to the left side of their little desk, say, "Now, let us always make room for our guardian angel." Well, John Shea admits that he was a fat boy growing up, and he said his little desk seat wasn't even big enough for him. How could he ever make room for his guardian angel? He said his two cheeks kind of ooze over on the right and on the left side of his chair, just like cheese oozes out of a grilled cheese sandwich. Now that's an image for us to hold on. So today we're celebrating the Feast of Guardian Angels. We don't hear much about guardian angels, do we? When was the last time you prayed to our guardian angel? Probably when you were just, maybe just a little child, and I must admit that's true with me. But you know, guardian angels do exist. And our Catholic Catechism tells us that very point. Guardian angels are a special gift that God gives to us. It shows God's abundant love for us, to guide us, to support us, and always to protect us as we make our journey home to the kingdom. Guardian angels are there to support us and to protect us from spiritual and physical evil. This is from our Catholic Catechism. Catholic Catechism also says that there are numerous writings and mentioning of guardian angels, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. For example, it was an angel that supported Jesus at Mount Gethsemane, just before his own passion and death. It was also an angel, we presume a guardian angel, that released Paul from prison when he was in Rome. Today's Gospel from Matthew explicitly shares Jesus' understanding of guardian angels. He says, "Be careful that we do nothing to despise one of these little ones. For their angel in heaven is always looking into the face of my heavenly Father." More explicitly put, Jesus is saying that each and every human being, every human soul has a guardian angel. That angel there is, as I said, to protect us and to guide us and to support us throughout all our lives. Our guiding angel is in heaven, always looking into the face of our Heavenly Father. Well, our guiding angel goes about its mission in supporting and protecting and caring for us. St. Thomas Aquinas also weighs in on guiding angels. Like our catechism, he says they are spiritual substances, special graces of God's divine presence in our lives to guide us and support us. These are the words of St. Thomas. He said, but guiding angels cannot act directly on our will or on our intellect. They can't influence the decisions we make. That is, whether or not we're going to continue to follow our guiding angel to the kingdom of God. We either choose God or we do not choose God. That's our choice. And our guiding angel cannot influence that in one way or the other. But our guiding angel can kind of stir about in our senses, helping us to sense danger or even joy. You ever been someone else say, yeah, this funny feeling, something's going to happen, maybe you're driving, you just happen to stop at a stop sign, a car goes whizzing by, that could very well be your guiding angel warning you. Our guiding angel can also, apart from stirring up our senses, also influence our imagination. To think of what it means to be with God in the kingdom forever and ever. Thomas also encourages us to pray to our guiding angel daily. If we went to a Catholic grade school, this goes back for myself certainly in the early 50s, we knew a lot about guiding angels. The sisters always taught us to pray for our guiding angels, perhaps even make room for our guiding angel next to us in our desk chairs, but said that we should pray to our guiding angels and always befriend them. Become friends. Come to know them. Talk to them every day as you continue to go about your daily work. I made good friends with my guiding angel, as most of my friends did. I talked to my guiding angel, and especially when I wanted to be kind of a first stringer on the baseball team and maybe on the hockey team. Oh God, please, guiding angel, help me out. I'm going to be picked first, you know. My guiding angel was there, supporting us. But sometimes I wish I didn't have a guiding angel, because realizing he was always there, he saw me doing things that I hope he would never ever tell my parents. But that's the way life is. Our sisters taught us to say a little prayer to our guiding angel. There's a lot of different prayers, but the one I think I remember is, angel of God, guardian dear, to whom your love is ever so clear. Be at our side to guide us home. Angel of God, guardian dear. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.